hugging a shrinking thermal. It looked like some kind of South American condor, but Doc couldn't be anywhere near certain. He swung his leg across and dismounted, rubbing the small of his back. He tied the reins to a broken lower branch of the sycamore, making sure that the knot was secure. He'd already experienced Judas's party trick of shaking loose a carelessly tied knot and vanishing in a cloud of dust, braying in triumph.
Wait here, won't be long.
There was the suspicion of bared teeth, and Doc glared at the animal, shaking his silver-headed cane.
I strongly urge you to set such thoughts aside.
There was some fresh and tender young grass sprouting below the shade of the tree, and the mule lowered its head and began to browse contentedly. Doc walked a few steps to the edge of the overlook, waving away a few golden-winged flies and seating himself on the warm turf.
What is happiness? It is a moment when the pain and desolation are briefly absent. Self-pity is a most excellent medicine. Would you not say, Dr. Tanner? It is only truly efficacious for the patient who relishes wallowing in his own emotional detritus.
He lay back, resting his head on his hands. The late afternoon sun was still pleasantly warm, and Doc realized that he should take care not to just slide away into sleep. The older he became, the more he seemed able to do that. So he resisted the temptation to close his eyes. As he looked up toward the heavens, tiny specks floated across his vision.
Enzyme chains. Or are they the secret messages left for us by the inhabitants of Faerie?
One of the clouds was the shape of a large old-fashioned hat, with a lacy feather sticking out of its top. Doc's dead wife, Emily, had once worn a hat like that. It had been purple silk, decorated with a white osprey's feather. The long pin that held it in place was silver, with a head of Whitby jet. She had worn it to a christening of a close friend's baby. But the names of the child and the friend had escaped Doc.
Odd how the memories of so long ago are often as clear as finest crystal, while what I ate to break my fast this morning is as misty as Nantucket in November. Bacon and grits with scrambled eggs. And the child was christened Jonquil, and the friends were called Tarquin and Hermione Rivette.
He clapped his hands in triumph, making Judas stop his ruminative munching. The air was heavy with the scent of wild mint, growing in a cluster near the tree behind him. Doc was unable to shake off the passing feeling of melancholy that was lying over the entire group of companions.
It'll be a good thing when Ryan and Brother Dix return safely to us, Judas. They are truly our shield and our buckler against the ungodly. I shall have a quick look out at the valley of death before us, and then we might commence our downward journey.
He stood, rubbed dust from his breeches, and stared out over the New Mexico desert, first toward the south, then shading his eyes as he looked toward the coppery fire of the setting sun.
I feel like Pilgrim after his battle against the demonic Apollyon, gazing toward the far-off radiance of the... By the three Kennedys, what was it? Was it the golden road to Samarkand, or the unexpected stranger in the bustling marketplace of Samara? I disremember.
Finally, he looked toward the north. It was impossible to guess how far the horizon was. It was bathed in a shimmering mist, with the distant mesas and buttes standing out from it like the beached wrecks of ancient mastless vessels.
All it lacks is a vast and headless trunk of stone. But I can do the looking and the despairing for... What can that be?
There was a faint column of dust many miles away, rising 100 feet in the air, the last rays of the sun catching it before the wind dispersed it.
Is it one of those whirling dervishes of sand? No, it doesn't seem.
Again his voice faded away as he saw the cause of the disturbance. Moving out of a shallow depression in the speckled desert was a group of people. They were much too far away for the old man to have any chance of making out any details.
More than one, and less than 1,000.
Doc had lived enough of his disturbed time in Deathlands to know that strangers could often signify danger.
Best be moving, Judas, and warn the others.
Doc untied the reins and slapped the mule on the rump when it refused to budge from the fresh grass. But the minuscule figures, dark-shadowed against the pallor of the land, drew him again, and he stood on the narrow plateau, staring.
The threat from the north. Always from the north.
Whomever the strangers were, they might have encountered JB and Ryan on the road, and they might easily be ordinary, pleasant travelers.
Of course they are. Silly old fool. Seeing danger where there is none.
He climbed aboard the mule and started the descent toward the valley floor and the spread and his friends. The third day of the journey began with a bright sun peeking over the hills to the east.
Hope this weather lasts.
JB wiped the skillet with a handful of fine white sand. Ryan was busily stamping out the glowing, smoldering remnants of their morning cooking fire.
I figure that the farther north and west we drive in the wag, the colder and wetter it's going to become.
JB blew into the pan, removing the last particles of dust.
Yeah. The other thing that it's going to become is hard traveling if we don't get ourselves some more gas in the next day or so.
I always liked walking.
I noticed that. Ever since we first met up, Ryan, I've known you as a man who liked walking. Just about as much as a pig likes flying.
Durango, and then up on 666 across Utah and into Nevada. That was just about as far as they'd bothered to make any detailed plans. Both of them knew that trying to schedule a long journey of more than 3 or 4 days over any part of Deathlands was about as pointless as Russian roulette, often with the same result. There could be a severe chem storm, with teeming rain so acid that it would strip the paint off a wagon 40 minutes, or a man's flesh from his bones and a great deal less. Or quakes, or one of the volatile volcanoes that had been brought back to life by the massive nukings of Skydark. Fires or flash floods, falling trees, or major earth slips. Or you might even run into an unmarked radiation hotspot. And that didn't include the strong probability of encountering big trouble from either four-legged or two-legged animals, gnomes or muties, or both. Trader used to say that a man who planned anything beyond the end of his own nose was likely to have it hacked off. Ryan was driving now, watching the changing landscape through the narrow obslit at the front of the LAV-25. JB sat in the top of the turret, his head and shoulders out in the fresh morning air. His fedora had been jammed on tight to avoid its being snatched off by the breeze. Apart from a couple of tumble-down and isolated hunters' cabins set way back off the blacktop, they still had seen no sign of human life.
Getting plenty of trees now.
Yeah.
Ryan wished he hadn't bothered to say anything at all. It was such an obvious comment. But they hadn't exchanged a single word for over an hour, and he felt a slight social pressure to keep the contact open.
It's colder, too.
Yeah.
There had been a faint drizzle falling for an hour or so, from about the time they approached what would have been the old state line into Colorado. The rain had made the highway slick and treacherous, particularly in places where the gradient had been affected by quakes or earth shifts. At an isolated crossroads, miles from anywhere, Ryan had noticed the tracks of another wag. He'd slowed, drawing JB's attention to them. The armorer had climbed out on the top of the eight-wheeler, reporting that they looked like threadbare tires off a four-by. Ever since the long winters, motorized transport had been at a premium. The metalworking skills were still there to repair the mechanics of the remaining vehicles, but making tires when the supply of rubber in Deathlands was almost non-existent was a lot more difficult. And gas that even remotely approached the purity of pre-dark supplies couldn't be found anywhere. But crude processing plants down in West Texas and in Louisiana offered a product that just about reached acceptability. One of Trader's great strengths had been based on the time he'd found vast supplies of gas from before Skydark, 100 miles or more north of Boston. Buried in a massive military installation, like a redoubt, there'd been enough to keep the pair of powerful war wags, which he discovered in the Apps a quarter century earlier, on the road for many years. Ryan found his mind turning more and more toward the elusive figure of his old leader. For many months, he had been utterly convinced the traitor was dead,